There's so much I want to ask. There's so many questions. I suppose I should start with the big ones, the obvious ones. Like, why is the world in the shape it's in?
Of all the questions man has asked of God, this is the one asked most often. From the beginning of time, man has asked it. From the first moment to this, you have wanted to know, why must it be like this? The classic posing of the question is usually something like, if God is all perfect and all loving, why would God create pestilence and famine, war and disease, earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and all manner of natural disaster, deep personal disappointment and worldwide calamity? The answer to this question lies in the deeper mystery of the universe and the highest meaning of life. I do not show my goodness by creating only what you call perfection all around you. I do not demonstrate my love by not allowing you to demonstrate yours. As I've already explained, you cannot demonstrate love until you can demonstrate not loving. A thing cannot exist without its opposite, except in the world of the absolute. Yet the realm of the absolute was not sufficient for either you or me. I existed there in the always, and it is from where you too have come. In the absolute, there is no experience, only knowing. Knowing is a divine state. Yet the grandest joy is in being. Being is achieved only after experience. The evolution is this: knowing, experiencing, being. This is the Holy Trinity, the triune that is God. God the Father is knowing, the parent of all understandings, the begetter of all experience, for you cannot experience that which you do not know. God the Son is experiencing, the embodiment, the acting out of all that the Father knows of itself. For you cannot be that which you have not experienced. God the Holy Spirit is being, the disembodiment of all that the Son has experienced of itself, the simple, exquisite isness possible only through the memory of the knowing and experiencing. This simple being is bliss. It is God's state after knowing and experiencing itself. It is that for which God yearned in the beginning. Of course, you're well past the point where you must have it explained to you that the Father-Son descriptions of God have nothing to do with gender. I use here the picturesque speech of your most recent scriptures. Much earlier holy writings placed this metaphor in a mother-daughter context. Neither is correct. Your mind can best hold the relationship as parent-offspring, or that which gives rise to and that which is risen. Adding the third part of the Trinity produces this relationship: that which gives rise to, that which is risen, that which is. This triune reality is God's signature. It is the divine pattern. The three in one is everywhere found in the realms of the sublime. You cannot escape it in matters dealing with time and space, God and consciousness, or any of the subtle relationships. On the other hand, you will not find the triune truth in any of life's gross relationships. The triune truth is recognized in life's subtle relationships by everyone dealing with such relationships. Some of your religionists have described the triune truth as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Some of your psychiatrists use the terms superconscious, conscious, and subconscious. Some of your spiritualists say mind, body, and spirit. Some of your scientists see energy, matter, ether. Some of your philosophers say a thing is not true for you until it is true in thought, word, and deed. When discussing time, you speak of three times only: past, present, future. Similarly, there are three moments in your perception: before, now, and after. In terms of spatial relationships, whether considering the points in the universe or various points in your own room, you recognize here, there, and the space in between. In matters of gross relationships, you recognize no in between. That is because gross relationships are always dyads, whereas relationships of the higher realm are invariably triads. Hence, there is left-right, up-down, big-small, fast-slow, hot-cold, and the greatest dyad ever created, male and female. There are no in-betweens in these dyads. A thing is either one thing or the other, or some greater or lesser version in relationship to one of these polarities. Within the realm of gross relationships, nothing conceptualized can exist without a conceptualization of its opposite. Most of your day-to-day experience is foundationed in this reality. Within the realm of sublime relationships, nothing which exists has an opposite. All is one, and everything progresses from one to the other in a never-ending circle. Time is such a sublime realm in which what you call past, present, and future exist interrelationally. That is, they are not opposite, but rather parts of the same whole, progressions of the same idea, cycles of the same energy, aspects of the same immutable truth. If you conclude from this that past, present, and future exist at one and the same time, you're right. Yet now is not the moment to discuss that. We can get into this in much greater detail when we explore the whole concept of time, which we'll do later.